Well, happy Mother's Day to all you mums. I don't know what your Mother's Day looks like this year. Maybe you'll get to see your kids. Maybe you'll be getting a phone call, or you've been really lucky and had breakfast in bed. Maybe Mother's Day is a little sad for you. You miss your mum. Whatever your day looks like, I pray that you feel loved. I pray that you feel special. That's what Mother's Day should be about, honouring our mums for the special part that they play in our lives. It's interesting, this idea of honouring people, isn't it? As Australians, we're generally not good at honouring people. We prefer to cut down the tall poppies. We've been called a nation of knockers. But recently we've seen a change, haven't we? Through the devastating bushfires towards the end of last year, we saw Australians honouring our firefighters. Children lined the streets waving as they drove by. For weeks there was a sign on the main road going through Foster saying thank you to our RFS heroes. More recently, we've seen our doctors and nurses, the frontline workers in the COVID-19 crisis, honoured. I heard that in New York, at a certain time every day, people come out onto their balconies and ring bells or bang saucepans as a way of honouring their health workers. In Australia, we've seen our nurses and doctors being thanked on TV and social media. In times of crisis, we need heroes, and our society quickly rises to the occasion, giving them honour. But how quickly we slip back into old habits, the Aussie way. This week, as we stop to honour our mothers, I want us to also stop to think about this idea of honour. I want to have a look at a story of a time when Jesus was actually limited in what he was able to do, because in his own hometown, the people who should have honoured him the most honoured him the least. If you've got your Bible with you, turn to Mark chapter 6. But before we read, let me give you some background. In the story we're about to read, Jesus was returning to his hometown, not his birthplace, but the place where he grew up. A year prior to this visit, he was actually run out of town, and his own people had threatened to kill him. Since then, he's been travelling, teaching, and performing all sorts of miracles. He's turned water into wine, raised the dead, opened blind eyes, healed deaf ears, and multiplied loaves and fishes to feed thousands. And now, at the beginning of Mark chapter 6, Jesus is returning to his hometown, Nazareth. We're reading from Mark 6, verse 1. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles?" In other words, the people are meeting Jesus and are saying, "Wow, this Jesus is amazing. His teaching is powerful. His miracles are amazing. How can he do these things?" And then in verse 3, someone says, "Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. So they're saying, "Isn't this little Jesus from down the road, the carpenter's son?" And the Bible says they took offence. Then verse 4, Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honour." The Greek word that's translated "without honour" is the word atimos. It means to treat as common or ordinary. To dishonour, the opposite of honour, is to treat as common or ordinary. How often in life do we start off honouring someone and then before long we treat them as common or ordinary? Have you ever watched a couple that are young and in love? Some of you remember what that was like. When you're young and in love, there's lots of honour being thrown around. There's flowers and chocolates, even diamonds sometimes. When you watch a couple that's young and in love, there's so much honour going on that it's almost sickening. No, it isn't. It's wonderful. But how often does it happen in marriages that before long, life gets busy and there's work stress and there's crying babies and financial pressures, and we start to treat each other as common and ordinary? In the Greek, the word for honour is timo. It means to value, to respect, to highly esteem. It means to treat as precious, weighty, or valuable. Wherever you're sitting right now, I want you to have a look around you. From where I'm sitting in my lounge room, I can see a few things that, if I tried to sell them, would be worth virtually nothing. But they are very precious to me. There's two little china birds that sit on my kitchen windowsill. Every home that Murray and I have lived in since we were married have had these two little birds on the windowsill. Before they sat on our windowsill, they used to sit on my grandmother's windowsill. They're not worth anything if I tried to sell them, but to me they're very precious. I can also see an old Radiola radio. It hasn't worked for years, but I remember it sitting on the top of my grandparents' fridge and playing the ABC News. Not worth a lot to anyone else, but very precious to me. I'm sure you mums can remember some Mother's Day presents that were worth nothing in dollars and cents, but were treasures to you. Drawings, little pen pots made by sticking paddle pop sticks to old tins, handmade cards. Maybe you even still have some of them. I know I do, and they are so precious. These things are not valuable in their own right, but they're valuable because we give them value. We would never treat them as common or ordinary. They are precious and treasured. That's what honouring does. It lifts up. It changes something from being common and ordinary to something that is precious and valuable. Dishonouring devalues and tears down, but honouring lifts up. It's true of the little birds on my windowsill, but it's so much more true for people. Honour someone and you lift them up. Dishonour someone and you drag them down. It was even true for Jesus. Have a look at what happened in the next verse. Remember, we just heard in verse 4 that a prophet is without honour in his own town. The very next verse, verse 5, says, Jesus could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Notice it doesn't say he wouldn't. It doesn't say Jesus would not. The Bible says he could not do any miracles except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. I don't fully understand this, but it seems that where there was a lack of honour, there was a lack of faith. And because of that, Jesus could not do what he could do in other places where they honoured him. When we dishonour someone, we drag them down. We limit them. They become a shadow of who they really are. I've seen this. Have you? Have you ever seen a man who is constantly belittled by his wife? Or a woman who's humiliated by her husband, or a child who is constantly called stupid? They become a shadow, don't they? A weakened, beaten down shadow of who they were created to be. I've also seen the opposite. During the bushfires, no one was more proud than the fireys. When someone is honoured, they rise. Their head lifts, their posture changes, dishonor someone and you drag them down. You limit them. They become a shadow of who they were meant to be. But honor someone and you lift them up. You elevate them from someone common and ordinary to someone who is precious and valued. Now, the Bible is full of teaching about honor, about who we are called to honor. But today I just want to highlight four people that the Bible clearly teaches that we are to show honor to. The first group is our parents. In Exodus 20, where we read the Ten Commandments, the things that are vitally important in the life of the believer, one of them is, this is Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord is giving you. We're told to honor our fathers and our mothers, and not just on Mother's and Father's Day. I worked for some years as a youth pastor, and during that time I had the opportunity to observe teenagers and parents interacting. And I have to say, tragically, there is not a lot of honour shown by many teenagers to their parents. In our household, Murray and I demanded a level of respect from our kids. I remember many times seeing my kids cringe when they saw how some of their friends spoke to their parents, because they knew what would have happened if they'd spoken like that to us. I remember our fourth son, Jordan. He's grown into a wonderful, godly young man. In fact, he's studying at Morling College to become a pastor. But there was a time when Jordan was a particularly strong-willed teenager. He used to know if he was overstepping the mark because I'd say, "Jordan, that's the wrong answer." When he heard that, he knew that the next thing I wanted to hear was, "Yes, Mum." Parents, you deserve honour just because you are the parent. And it's good parenting to demand honour and respect from your kids. Don't put up with them dishonouring you. Children, the commandment is clear. It's alongside do not murder and do not steal and do not commit adultery. Honour your father and mother. And this is not only for children and teenagers. As we get older, we honour our parents by speaking well of them, by listening to them, by valuing their opinions. And note, the Bible doesn't say honour your father and mother if they are good people, if they are deserving of honour. No, respect is earned, but honour is given. We honour our parents because it's the right thing to do and because Scripture demands it of us. The second group the Bible teaches us to show honour to is those who are in authority, those that God has placed above us. Romans 13 talks about honouring those in government. Verse 7 says, "Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe respect, then respect. If honour, then honour." We're called to show honour to those who are in authority over us. Treat them with respect. Listen when they speak. Speak well of them. We said it before, honour lifts. You may just find that your boss is lifted and becomes a better boss, purely because of the fact that you showed him or her honour. The third group we're called by God to show honour to is pastors and church leaders. We are called to show honour to those who are spiritually instructing and discipling us. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church are worthy of double honour, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching." It's such a blessing to be part of a church where the pastor and those in leadership are loved and supported and honoured. But sadly, this does not occur in every church. Murray and I have spent enough time with pastors to know that many churches do not support, love, and honour their leaders. Don't hear me saying that you can't question your pastors and leaders. Healthy debate and discussion is a good thing. But be careful that it doesn't become dishonor, because dishonor drags down. Remember what happened to Jesus when he was not honored in his hometown. He was unable to do the things that he was called to do. Dishonor drags down, but honor lifts up. Finally, to those of us that are married, the Bible is very clear about the fact that we should honor our husband or wife. Ephesians 5:33 says, "So again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." Ladies, you know what it's like. Often when a group of women get together, it's not long before the husbands are being criticized. Often it's light-hearted and humorous. But you know what? It drags down. I've seen this time and time again. Spouses who are a sad shadow of the wife or husband they were created to be because they are constantly being belittled, criticized, and mocked. Those of you who are married, your husband or your wife is going to get plenty of criticism. Make sure it doesn't come from you. We have to honor our husbands and our wives. And you know what you will find? Your spouse will be better when they are honored. Honor lifts. Romans 12:10 says, "Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other." That's my challenge to us for this week. Let's take delight in honoring each other. Has someone ministered to you this week? Why don't you take delight in honoring them? In fact, let's do it now. Did you know that every week whilst we're in lockdown, Jan Long delivers over 40 CDs and booklets to people in our church family who have no other way of hearing or reading God's word? She's worked out a map that's the most efficient way of driving to all of the addresses, and she cheerfully follows it each week. Some of you are hearing this message because of Jan's faithful service. And this is only one of the ways that Jan serves God and our church family. Jan, we honor you. You are an amazing servant of the King. Energetic beyond your years, hardworking and faithful. You are a blessing to our church family and to me personally. We honor you. Betty and Ivor, combined ages of nearly 200 and still faithfully using their musical gifts to bless our church family. We honor you for your faithful service. Those of us who were married, let's honor our husbands and wives. I want to honor Murray this morning, the most godly, courageous, loving man I know, the best friend I've ever had. I honor him and thank God for him. Those of you who are parents, let's stop putting our kids down or complaining about them. Let's honor our kids. I want to honor my four kids this morning, Brendan, Lauren, Gemma, and Jordan, and their partners, Andrea, Dion, Giuliano, and Jess. I won't name all their pets. My kids bless me, inspire me, they make me laugh, they make me cry. I'm so proud of them. I honor them and thank God for them. Those of you who are children, let's honor our parents. I want to honor my mum. She and Dad loved me, taught me, provided for me, disciplined me, and challenged me. I would not be the woman I am today without all that they have invested in me. I honor my mum, especially today, but every day. And I thank God for her. to all of our church family. We are a family, even when we're not physically together. Let's honour each other. I want to honour each one of you, wherever you are as you listen to this, in your car, in your lounge room, tucked up in bed. Murray and I are so thankful to God that he brought us together. I honour you and I thank God for you. Above all else, let's honour the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I honour the Son of God, the risen Christ, who gave his life to save mine. I honour him for his forgiveness, his empowering, and for who he is. I give him all the honour and the praise that is due his name. Let's pray. Lord, I think that's why so often we're a people without honour. Because first and foremost, we don't honour you. Forgive us, Lord, for the way that we treat you as common. We treat you with way too much familiarity. We don't honour and revere and worship you as we should. Help us to truly honour you in our words, our deeds, and the meditations of our hearts. Lord, we want to be people who honour our parents, our partners, our children, our work colleagues, our pastor, and our church family. We want to be people who lift up, not people who drag down. Help us to use our words, our actions, even our thoughts, to always lift up. Help us to be people who honour others and honour you. But we can't do this on our own. Our hearts are pretty rotten and old habits die very hard. So we ask that your Holy Spirit would empower us. Fill us anew right now. Help us to be an honouring people. And on this day, Mother's Day 2020, we want to especially honour the women who have impacted our lives so profoundly. Mothers, grandmothers, aunties, sisters. For some of us, these women are just a precious memory. Thank you, God, for these dear women. We pray that they would feel loved and honoured today and every day. Bless each one, I pray. In Jesus' powerful and wonderful name. Amen.